The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Commentary from the Edge. I'm your host, Albert Lewis. Today, my rant is entitled, The American Arms Race. A little while ago, I went to the rifle range. I like to go, you know, every month or so, keep my skills up. And I did my usual. Took most of my firearms and fire maybe a box of ammo and maybe more through each one, depending on what caliber it is. Rifle, a handgun, a semi-auto, or a revolver. And didn't think much of it. And then about a week or so later, there's a gun show. It's a gun show that comes around every couple of months or so. Decided to go and replenish my ammo supply that I had burned up at the rifle range. And I was shocked at the prices. And after I looked at that, I said, what in the heck is going on? Because some of these prices were damn near double what I had been accustomed to paying. And I know I'd heard a news clip about the federal government buying up a bunch of ammunition, and it didn't really dawn on me at the time. It didn't really have a big impact. But now I see the method to their madness. So I didn't buy anything, no ammo. I just looked around for a little while and went home. Added a few more things to my wish list. That's about all I did. But I got curious, and so at best that I could recollect, I made a note, a tabulation of the ammo that I had used up my trip to the rifle range and how much it would cost to replenish that. And I was kind of shocked because that little trip to the rifle range cost me nearly $200. And I thought, what? And I didn't stay very long. I only had an hour. So counting the range fees, we're looking at something approaching $200 for a little trip to the rifle range to get in a little target practice. Ridiculous. And then it dawned on me that this is a result of an arms race between the citizens, you and me, people who do target shooting, or the people who hunt, or the people who have firearms for self-protection, anyone who might purchase a firearm and stockpile ammunition, especially people who fear the government and adhere to the true nature of the Second Amendment, which was the right of the people to bear arms to protect themselves against oppressive governments. Since that day, I've heard several more news clips and read a couple of articles about what is going on with the federal government and the supply of ammunition. The Department of Homeland Security is in the process of buying up literally billions of rounds of ammunition. And it's driving the cost up, causing a shortage and driving the cost up. And it's not just the Department of Homeland Security. It seems that other departments like agriculture and transportation, they're also buying up large quantities of ammunition. Why? Why do non-military branches of the government need with millions or billions of rounds of ammunition, and not to mention the weapons to use them? Of course, the military buys billions of rounds of ammunition, but Homeland Security? Come on. And after digging into this a little deeper, I found out that on average, the Homeland Security is buying 1,000 more rounds of ammunition per employee than the U.S. military. U.S. military buys, on average, per employee, about 300 rounds of ammunition, whereas the Homeland Security is buying 1,300 rounds per employee. Now, you understand that not all people in the military are combatants, so when you get right down to it, it's kind of weird that Homeland Security is buying more ammunition per person than the military. I mean, are they expecting an invasion? Perhaps from Canada or Mexico or just what? Why is it that an organization like Homeland Security, who will mostly are involved in monitoring communications, security here and there at airports, why in the heck would they need more ammunition per person than the military? And not only that, they're buying millions of rounds of hollow point ammunition. Now, the Geneva Convention prevents our military from using hollow point ammunition in combat because it does considerably more damage to the human body than regular copper jacketed ball ammunition. And not only that, Homeland Security is buying many up-armored Humvees and other armored vehicles. And you kind of wonder what's going on. And then several other incidents take place where you see a kind of a pattern developing where the government or the people who run the government seem to be using the organs of government against the people, the citizens of the United States, the people who pay them to run the government. Most noticeably, this situation with the IRS actually targeting people or groups because they exhibit a different philosophy or a different attitude than the current administration. That is scary. And then you have a situation where the Justice Department secretly subpoenaed and obtained telephone records of a major news organization. We're supposed to have, under the Constitution, free speech and a freedom of expression in the press. So why is the Justice Department secretly obtaining information about a segment of the free press? They gathered phone numbers, and I guess they're going to use that information to tap the lines or listen in on the lines and find out what the news media is talking about. Now, they gave a somewhat lame excuse that they were looking for evidence to try to find who leaked secret information. But if you are doing that, why would you have to subpoena the records in secret? Why hide what you're doing? Taken on an individual basis, these incidences don't seem so threatening. But when you step back and look at the big picture and you think back a few years or a few months, remember Fast and Furious, where our government actually funneled high-powered firearms to drug cartels? They said to trace them, but evidence has come out that they wanted to set up a situation where they could point to the acquisition of firearms by these illegals as an excuse to institute stricter gun laws. And when you take all of this as a whole, it appears that the government or the people in charge of government are acting in a consistent manner to increase their ability to control the people and decreasing the ability of the citizens of this country to defend themselves. Now, do you think that's an exaggeration of what's going on? I don't. It seems fairly obvious to me. And it takes me back to something that I've read now and then. And it's a quote from Thomas Jefferson, one of the founding fathers. And I quote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure." Close quote. In other words, Thomas Jefferson knew that the Revolutionary War, even though it brought forth a free nation, the United States of America, that wasn't the end. That every now and then, that freedom, the tree of liberty, has to be nourished with the blood of patriots and tyrants. Now, who are the patriots and who are the tyrants? The patriots are not some band of gun nuts up in the mountains of Idaho somewhere, arming themselves to the teeth and proclaiming this land to be, you know, some sacred enclave of European descendant people. Those aren't patriots. Those are supremacists who espouse beliefs that are directly in contradiction to the wording of the Constitution. It's not the East Coast liberals who want to redistribute wealth to people who haven't earned it. Those aren't patriots. Those are socialists. Their misguided Christianity has destroyed the fabric of society in many segments of the population in this country. It's not the people who don't want to work for a living and pay their fair share in taxes. Those are leeches. And it is certainly not the politicians in Washington who have corrupted the system and are on their way to creating some kind of totalitarian state and set themselves up as some special class. The true patriots are the common people, like you and me, who will go and get as much education as they can, get a job, have a nice career, raise a family, are law-abiding, and just want to have their slice of the American dream. But it seems that it's not enough for the patriots to just live the American dream. It seems that the Tree of Liberty requires, as Thomas Jefferson said, the refreshment with the blood of tyrants and patriots. As sad as it sounds, it seems that the tyrants will not give us a choice. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that a war with the government is imminent, but Thomas Paine, another founding father considered one of the great thinkers of that era, made a statement that, and I quote, "Government in its best state is but a necessary evil, in its worst state an intolerable one." And it seems that our government pretty much has fulfilled his statement. It has become intolerable. Think about some of the things that our government has done recently. There's a sequestration, right? They're going to cut back on services to the citizens who finance the government with our taxes, cut down on air traffic controllers, and put the traveling public in jeopardy, cut back on other services that we pay our taxes for, even curtail visits to the White House. But at the same time they were doing that, they were sending millions of dollars in foreign aid and military assistance to Egypt and other countries run by dictators or non-democratic governments. Where does the government get off taking our money and doing asinine things like that, curtailing our services, but at the same time sending that money overseas to people who don't share our values? And so that's why I say the government has plans, and those plans are not necessarily in the best interest of the citizens, the patriots, and the taxpayers of this nation. So I firmly believe that we as the citizens, as the voting public, must do something drastic before the situation gets to the point where we have to resort to physical violence, revolution, to do something about a tyrannical government. And my suggestion is this, that the very next election, we vote every incumbent who is up for re-election out of office, regardless of party, regardless of philosophy, regardless of their tenure, regardless of any consideration. And that is the only thing that will send a loud and clear enough message to these people that we are in charge, that they work for us. If we don't do something as dramatic as that, then I fear that we will continue on this course, this march towards a dictatorial government and this American arms race. Until next time, I'm your host, Elbert Lewis, from The Edge.